it's a pre-Thanksgiving kind of event. I guess some would say Thanksgiving Eve, but I guess the way you probably would put it. But folks, I'm not traditional. I'll do it the normal way these days. Welcome to the show. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here. We're going to catch you up on, of course, before you enjoy your Thanksgiving. And I hope everyone does, of course. We're going to keep you updated regarding the latest on James Comey. As many of you guys know, both him and Sister James just had their charges dismissed by, of course, a Dem federal judge. President Trump is actually responding to that. So we'll play that for you, of course. Also, there was a report that dropped yesterday regarding FBI Director Kash Patel, whether or not he is going to be replaced potentially in the new year. Well, President Trump also weighed in on that report as well. And so did the press secretary. So we'll bring you the very latest on that. Plus, there's new updates regarding Arctic Frost and how wide they were trying to cast their net. It's quite interesting, right? When you look at the fact that Jack Smith and two key federal prosecutors at the time, what they were trying to do to go after several Republican lawmakers. Everyone was going to get wrapped up. They were going to send everyone to prison. I'll bring you the latest on that because it's quite interesting. There's another email that was just released and it details exactly who was on their hit list. As absurd as that is, that's what's going on right now. Plus, we're also going to be discussing Kristi Noem because she said F it to Judge Boasberg and went her own way. And we know this now because we have the court document that says just that. And it is a great court document. And it highlights everything you need to know because ultimately, folks, Boasberg had his feelings hurt because he wasn't happy because DHS ignored his hold order. And now we know who was the one who told him to just F that. I'll bring that up for you as well on today's show. Also, we're going to detail Meta because Meta was actually just caught in court filings that were unsealed, giving sex traffickers opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, allegedly, to traffic humans on their platform. There's new claims being made in court, and it is very, very actually horrifying. It's shocking to discover that Meta apparently had a 17-time strike policy for accounts involved in human sex trafficking. That was just revealed. I'll bring you the latest on that because that is just an absolute disgrace. Probably makes sense why Zuckerberg is getting very, very close to President Trump these days because I think he knows his companies are in deep, deep you-know-what. And so I'll walk you through the very latest on that bombshell report. It's very, very fascinating. Plus, the White House press secretary, one of her relatives actually just got nabbed by ICE. It's another crazy, crazy story. We'll bring you the details on that because it's actually her nephew. So we'll bring you the latest on that front as well. Plus, as horrifying as it may be, men in women's spaces, that woman that we played for you a couple of weeks ago who was confronting that man, that biological man in Gold's Gym, well, she's not backing down anytime soon. Eric Swalwell says and claims he's going to be running for governor. Well, she's confronting him. And she had the very pushy interaction with him, but she was 1,000% right. It's one of those videos you're going to want to see, so stay put. We also have Dan Lyman joining the show later today. He's going to be weighing in, of course, as our InfoWars reporter. He's going to be weighing in on the very latest regarding the Somalians who are trying their best to stay in our country, commit more fraud, and funnel that money back to their terrorist buddies back home. So he's got the very latest on that, plus a couple of interesting stories that are up right now on InfoWars.com. Plus, Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio today. He's got a lot to sound off on. He was sending me texts last night as to the topics he wants to discuss. So we look forward to having him today in studio because he is going off. And interesting enough, folks, Republicans are finally starting to get a little, I guess we'll say, spine when it comes to Islam. And they're finally starting to speak the truth. Several high-profile Republicans are now calling out groups like CARE. And you won't believe what they have to say, of course. We've been telling you about this for years now. But now, the fringe movement, it's becoming mainstream these days. Don't go anywhere. We have more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is our Black Friday sales going on right now over thealexjonesstore.com. It's time to stock up. Buy one, get one free on supplements, plus 25% off apparel.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal. Happy Wednesday, everyone. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot going on over here as we prepare for Thanksgiving. Excited about that, of course. I hope you all are as well. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. Dan Lyman will be joining us in just a little bit. There's a lot that he's going to weigh in on regarding InfoWars.com. That is where you can find his work. He's working on a lot of incredible stories, including a lot of discovery on the Somalians who have committed a lot of fraud in this country. Now, there's new allegations that they're funneling that money back to their homeland and their terrorist organization. Surprise, surprise. So Lyman will be joining me to react to that. Plus, Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio today because there's a lot going on there. With not only just, you know, the Islamic takeover of Texas and Florida that he's going to sound off on, but CARE is finally getting attacked by some high-profile Republicans because finally everyone's starting to grow a set of cojones. So they're pushing back. I was told that this was actually a fringe movement when you push back on Islam, but all of a sudden it's gone mainstream. Stuart Rhodes will be in studio in a bit as well, joining us. We'll be taking your calls also during today's show. But I wanted to bring you an update because, as many of you guys know, earlier this week, former FBI Director James Comey and Tisha James over in New York, they had their charges dismissed by a Dem judge, a federal judge. Now, of course, the judge just looking for any excuse to side with her fellow allies and, of course, tossing those charges because, well, they claimed that the interim U.S. attorney, which is Lindsay Holligan, that she does not actually she was not lawfully appointed to her position. Now, that's obviously garbage, and the White House is not moving from that stance at all. But President Trump isn't backing down. And I want to play this clip for you because yesterday, President Trump, for the first time, weighed in on those charges being dismissed. Take a listen.
Are you planning to replace Cash Patel?
He's doing a good job. Cash Patel? No, he's doing a great job, I think.
This week we saw those cases against James Comey and Letitia James tossed out. Do you still have faith in Lindsay Holligan?
She's great. I think she's great. They got out on a technicality, and you'll see what happens from here on. But if you look at the actual charges, I think anybody that looks at it very fairly would say, boy, are they guilty. So let's see what happens over the next week. You know, the court didn't say you couldn't bring the case, rebring the case, or appeal the case. So they have a lot of options. They're going to call the shot. I'm not calling the shot. But Lindsay's a very talented lawyer, actually.
So obviously the president not backing down from that stance. He supports obviously Holligan and he appointed, well, pushed for her to get into that position. So he's not backing down anytime soon on that front. And it's good. It's good because folks, James Comey can't get away with this. He cannot get away with this. Now, as I described to you, the original plan obviously was to push for Holligan to get in as quickly as possible because the statute of limitation is what they were up against in regards to James Comey, the charges that he's now facing, or was at least facing. So they wanted to push this in as quickly as they could to make sure they beat that deadline. Now, what happens now? Well, obviously, we heard from DOJ, Pam Bondi, saying that she is going to be appealing this decision. And then moving forward, they are going to figure out what's going to happen. Now, if they, by any chance, lose that appeal, they have 6 months still to the day of the dismissal to now go after and refile those charges. What does that mean? Well, they could appoint a new U.S. attorney in that area, or Pam Bondi could be the one leading that prosecution. So obviously there's a lot on her plate, and we all know that. I want to call in this clip because this one's also a good one. Roger Stone weighing in on all of this. And it's quite the enlightening experience when you hear what Roger's got to say about this issue. Take a listen.
But we saw yesterday something that's equally part of the efforts to destabilize Donald Trump, and that is this outrageous decision by a Clinton-appointed judge to dismiss the indictments against FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. There's a lot here, so let me get into it. But first of all, let's recognize that James Comey and I were charged with the exact same crime, lying to Congress under oath. Yet they staged a 6 a.m. raid at my home with 29 heavily armed FBI agents and a CNN camera in tow, while James Comey was allowed to leisurely turn himself in within 10 days. The judge gagged me immediately, so I couldn't go on InfoWars and tell people the truth about what was happening to me. But there was no gag or limitation on James Comey. He was allowed to say anything, anywhere he wanted.
24 agents didn't raid his house.
Absolutely true. So what this proves yet again is when it comes to the Constitution, the law, the rules, the facts, or the evidence, none of these things matter if you have a left-wing activist judge. Very specifically, the judge in my case specifically prohibited me from arguing that I was selectively prosecuted or that there was a political motivation in my prosecution. But James Comey was not similarly limited. But here's the most important thing. The ruling itself had nothing to do with the merits of the case. It didn't address the question of whether Comey lied under oath to Congress. It didn't address the question of whether Letitia James had a 43-year record of mortgage fraud and that every single mortgage document she ever signed included fraud in order to get her a lower mortgage rate, a tax break, and a lower insurance rate. The judge threw out these charges because she said that Lindsay Halligan, who is the extraordinarily brilliant and very attractive interim U.S. attorney appointed by President Trump, was unconstitutionally and improperly appointed. This is completely and totally wrong. Lindsay Halligan, first of all, the media denigrates her as a beauty queen or as an insurance lawyer. She graduated from college summa cum laude, got her degree 2 years early, got her law degree in record time, top of both her law class and her class. She was a senior partner in one of the most important and largest law firms in Florida, where she headed their civil litigation division. She has more experience in front of juries than, say, Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general. So the denigration of her is outrageous. But more importantly, the ruling, which said yesterday that the court ruled that once the original 120-day period under Section 546 of the law expired, the attorney general lost the power to appoint an interim U.S. attorney. That's incorrect. But it's interesting because the appointment of Robert Mueller, like the appointment of Jack Smith, was found to be unconstitutional. So once again, similarly, in my case, Jack Smith had never been confirmed by the U.S. Senate because there was no law creating the position to which he was appointed, and because there were no funds budgeted, the courts in South Florida found that his appointment was unconstitutional. Well, if that's true, then the appointment of Robert Mueller was similarly unconstitutional because the facts are the same.
Sure, so let's cut to the chase. What do we need to do?
When I raised that at trial, the courts refused to honor it. But when they raised it against Lindsay Halligan, it was raised. Here's the point. The law says two very important things. The provision authorizing the attorney general to appoint Halligan to a 120-day perm is subsection A of the law. Comey argued, and the Clinton judge incorrectly argued, that subsection D of that law overrode it.
Obviously, it's endless corruption and favors that are being tossed over to Dems, and we don't have that level of privilege. Folks, Roger has every right to be infuriated by the issue, because the reality of it is what they did to him was politically motivated, and they got away with it. Anyone disbarred? Anyone else thrown into prison? The answer to that's no. Not a single one of them even had a mugshot taken. Now, I know I joke and say that lightly because I wanted my merch, the James Comey mugshot, but the reality of it is we should have done the same exact thing that they did to Republicans. Problem is we have people over the DOJ that want to play footsie with those on the left still because they probably fear that if there's ever a Democrat that makes their way back into the administration, guess what? They're all next. That's why you have to purge the filth that's currently residing within the deep state. And unfortunately, they don't have the guts to do that. Now, Todd Blanch obviously is someone who we continuously do want to call out because he has a pile of things on his desk that seem to not be a priority. And it's infuriating that both Pam Bondi and Todd Blanch will still continue to have their jobs. I mean, what more do they have to not do? What more do they have to not do before the president makes a move? We have a very limited time here before we could actually do anything about all of this. We're right up against the midterms. Maybe that's what they're trying to avoid. Maybe they think if we start doing these indictments against these deep state operatives right before the midterms, that this will actually not go over well for us, or for Republicans, I should say. But it's so infuriating. And if Republicans think they're going to win the midterms, they're absolutely delusional. But I think House Republicans want that. I think they like to be in the minority. They like to be the critics. It's easier, actually, to be in a minority, to be truthfully honest with you guys. There's a lower standard when you're in the minority. And they continuously do absolutely nothing. You know, we sat back and watched as they were voting on socialism, as if that's going to do anything for us. The American people can't afford what's going on right now with our economy. Can't afford houses. Food is insanely expensive. We have a GOP that is doing absolutely nothing while the people gave them both the House and the Senate. And obviously you have President Trump, who is at least trying to do things, but they're not doing anything underneath him. It's so infuriating. And then we have this. We'll turn to this next update regarding Arctic Frost. Senator Ron Johnson put out a tweet yesterday, and it has to do with a new document that he's received, as well as Senator Chuck Grassley. Is coming from the AG's office. I don't know. I get so enraged by this because why is Pam Bondi sending over these emails like, hey, look what we found? Pam Bondi sent this document over to them. And of course, what does this document say? Well, it has a very wide net of Republicans that Jack Smith was going after and the other prosecutors involved in all of this. And that list, very extensive. As you could see at the very top of the email, first, the body of the email is them making a list of Republicans that they're going to go after. Information they're looking for. Looks to be calls, text messages, detail records for the following persons is what this email appears to be. And then you see that they're throwing names out there. Mike Lee, Tommy Tuberville, Marsha Blackburn, and the list goes on. Should we add Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Perry? I mean, this is like others. Like, this is the prosecutors who are doing this, the federal prosecutors at the time. They even say Kevin McCarthy's name as well. And then in it, the very top, the last email that was sent, it says, Ron Johnson, Mike Kelly, ? I mean, they were going after everyone. Everyone. Every single Republican they were lunging for. And here's Pam Bondi just sending it over to two more senators. Oh, look what else we have. What are you going to do about it, Pam Bondi? Stop sending these emails. Stop releasing these things. And then expecting the American people to go, ooh. I mean, that's literally what they're hoping you're doing. There's zero action coming from the DOJ right now. How about you start to try to get these people disbarred? They think the American people are just okay with the status quo, what's been going on. And let me just also hype this up for you a little bit, because the reality of it is this is the action, the only action that Pam Bondi has taken. She fired those two prosecutors. The one prosecutor you see in that email was fired. Okay. But they've now opened up their own law firm. I mean, it's so insane. It's so insane. And in it, they just brag about their previous work history with Jack Smith.
a senior assistant special counsel. These people have no shame because they know you're not going to do anything. If you had a set of cojones, you'd move to get these people disbarred. But of course, no action from the DOJ. I think I'm going to have to go back with my nickname for the DOJ, which was the Department of Injustice. Because they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. And again, also Chuck Grassley posting another email just saying that he received another email from, again, the DOJ outlining more corruption. At least 1/4 of my Republican Senate colleagues were targeted shamefully. I mean, what else are we going to do? What else are we going to do? How many times are you going to keep putting out information like this and expect us not to demand some type of results to make sure this doesn't happen again? Pam Bondi just keeps pushing this stuff over and says, wow, look what we found. You're the top U.S. attorney right now. And what are you doing? Nothing. You see, Jack Smith knew exactly how to go about all of this. And there are still people to this day actually dealing with the lawfare that came from the Biden regime, by the way. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to tolerate this woman. I truly, truly don't know how much longer we tolerate this. We're asking for the bare minimum here. She will not even try to get these people disbarred. And it's not even retaliation. It's not political retaliation. You were asking for the bare minimum. These people violated their oath, went after their political opposition because they wanted to make sure that they could lock these people up. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again because nothing is happening now. I want to switch gears and bring you an update regarding the J6 pipe bomber story. This one coming from CBS News. Now, again, I want to bring you continuous updates. Regardless of how I personally feel about it, let's talk about what they're talking about. Right now, CBS News released an exclusive. This is what they're claiming. So there was a woman, and we will not say her name or show her face, who was accused by the Blaze of being the pipe bomber. The Blaze laid out a bunch of accusations claiming that this woman, who was at the time working for Capitol Police, then now works for the CIA, I believe she's like a security guard almost for the CIA, that she was the pipe bomber. And there was a lot of questions about the story. You know, I've reached out to several individuals, even the woman they accused directly. I called her, I texted her, no response. And now it looks like she's turning to the mainstream media. She does have an attorney, by the way. I believe this attorney was a former DHS special counsel, and that was under the Obama administration. So this woman now has an attorney. We don't know if she's looking to file a lawsuit here. But CBS apparently has obtained some type of footage that they deem actually clears her. Federal security officer. So again, they're just calling her kind of like a security guard. He has a video of her apparently playing with puppies at the time the devices were placed down. That's according to sources that tell CBS News. So I don't know if CBS News has actually seen it. The FBI has now ruled her out as a suspect, is what CBS News is claiming. Now, again, we don't know how true this is. The FBI has not commented on it as of yet. But keep in mind, when I did reach out to the FBI for comment on this, the FBI telling me that they're still looking for the pipe bomber and that $500,000 reward is still available. Also, according to my sources, one source telling me who's high up in the intel sphere telling me that they actually have a different suspect in mind and it wasn't the woman that was accused by the Blaze. Now, the interesting part here, multiple sources said a unit overseen by the director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, drafted a memo identifying the woman and describing the allegations that she had placed the explosive devices outside the DNC offices, obviously in the RNC offices. The memo was written after ODNI was made aware of the accusations from an outside source. The ODNI spokesperson apparently told CBS. ODNI officials said the agency received a tip from a person affiliated with a media organization about potential criminal wrongdoing by an individual believed to be working at the intelligence agency. and set about documenting it in a memo. So this story is taking a turn. We're going to continue to follow it, obviously, because we don't know where this is heading to. And again, the source here is CBS News, so tread lightly on that. A copy of the unfinished memo, they say, was given to a senior staff at the security office workplace, sources said. It circulated amongst a few Trump administration officials. So we're waiting to see how the story develops. But as of right now, folks, refrain from using this woman's name. I tried to speak with her. I wanted to actually hear her perspective and make sure we were being as fair and balanced as possible. Unfortunately, though, she declined my call. I'm trying to leave her voicemail. The voicemail disconnected halfway through my voicemail. I sent her multiple text messages. I believe it was two. Did not hear back, but both of them were delivered to her. It's what it appears to be, at least. So again, I mean, the pipe bomber story, it's getting interesting. It's getting interesting, to say the least. We'll keep you updated as that story continues to develop, of course. So that's a very important story that I know you, the American people, want to know more about, because we don't trust our government. I mean, that's just the reality of this. And they have no one else to blame but themselves. I mean, you know, we talked about it extensively yesterday in regards to Thomas Crooks. I mean, the FBI is now coming forward with all this information only because journalists put forward the information first. And now they're trying to play stupid and say, oh, well, look at this. Now, you know, we have Kash Patel pretending to be transparent, but we forced his hand. He didn't voluntarily have that information available. It wasn't until Tucker published it first, and then myself and Miranda Devine. And so you can't really expect much from this government right now. And it's very unfortunate, of course. It's very, very unfortunate. So we're going to continue to follow that story, of course, as it develops. Again, we'll tread lightly on it until we start seeing some hard evidence, because enough is enough, man. I'm so tired of nobody willing to go on the record on this story. This is the reason why the American people don't trust anyone anymore. And I get it. I get frustrated too, because I'm trying to dig on stories and dig into stories, and I'll get people, spokespeople, who are like, we can't go on the record with you. Just use source. And it's just so frustrating, because you want to be as transparent as you can, but you have a very limited amount of people willing to cooperate with you. So we're going to keep following that story, of course, as it develops. Folks, in the meantime, I wanted to tell you all about the Black Friday sale we have going on. It's a little early, but it's over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over, because we have buy one, get one free on all supplements. This is the biggest sale we have ever done. This one's actually going to end on Friday, so you're going to want to head on over to the shop and snag these deals. It is time now to stock up on all your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. And also keep in mind, too, when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, we're also doing 25% off apparel. So that's going to be great. See the shirt that I got on? I got it over at thealexjonesstore.com. You should, too, as well. There's so many incredible items right now, and they make great Christmas gifts. And this is what you can wear. I'll be wearing this when I want to trigger my liberal siblings. So I highly recommend you get in line and do the same, of course. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up before it is too late, before we run out of everything that you're going to want. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Dan Lyman is next. Don't go anywhere.
You are beyond insane. If you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyway. The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality, service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, and everything else is insanely good. And we got the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free.
all the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds. You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war, their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now they're openly calling for it. U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're joining us today. All right. Somalians aren't happy that we're talking about them, mainly because they're being outed publicly for, you know, a lot of them running criminal, fraudulent organizations, taking our money and shipping it back to their country so their terrorist buddies could enjoy a good life at your expense, of course. And, you know, it's one of the many issues that we have with the Somalian population in this country. We played it for you yesterday, a clip of Ilhan Omar claiming that Somalians have contributed to the fabric of this great nation. I don't know what that means. I guess, I mean, in my end, I think that she's talking about boosting our inbreeding stats. That's the only real contribution that they've actually contributed. Maybe lowering our national IQ level, maybe that she's referring to. But there's really no actual, and I wish a reporter would have asked her, contributions to the Somalians we've taken in over the years. And they never want to talk about it. And if you talk about it, you're a racist. But Somalians have been getting away with this for far too long. We rarely criticize them, but we're supposed to just allow them to invade our country. There's a clip I want to play for you, clip 5. Has to do with one Somalian who just recently had his case tossed out of court because of a rogue judge who decided that, I feel bad for the guy. Take a listen.
A big reversal in a $7.2 million fraud case in Hennepin County. The judge has thrown out the jury's guilty verdict. This is a case Lou Ragus has been following since the beginning. The judge's actions could make it harder to prosecute state fraud cases in the future. Lou?
Julie, it's extremely rare for a judge to reverse a jury's verdict in a criminal case. Jurors I spoke to today told me it was not a difficult decision to find Abdi Fattah Yusuf guilty in a Medicaid billing scheme, and they're surprised by this development.
At the August trial for Abdi Fattah Yusuf, the jury heard evidence that he ran his home health care company, Promise Health, out of a mailbox at a Central Avenue address where multiple other home health care companies were supposedly located. Yusuf and his wife, Lowell Ahmed, were charged with stealing $7.2 million of taxpayer money through Medicaid overbilling in a personal care assistant, or PCA, scam. The couple allegedly spent tens of thousands of the fraud money on luxury items for themselves. Despite the jury swiftly convicting Yusuf, Judge Sarah West last week decided they got it wrong.
It's reversing or overturning a jury's verdict.
Defense attorney Joe Tamburino, who's not affiliated with this case, reviewed the decision and analyzed it for Care 11 News. He says Judge West ruled that the state's case relied heavily on circumstantial evidence and that she believed the state did not rule out other reasonable inferences.
That, in fact, there could have been other reasonable theories other than guilt in this case. That's what it comes down to.
Despite the ruling, even Judge West wrote that she is troubled by the manner in which fraud was able to be perpetuated at Promise Health.
I was stunned.
State Representative Kristen Robbins, chair of the House Fraud Prevention and State Oversight Committee, says she's now reviewing if any state laws need to be tightened.
We want to strengthen state law so that we can get prosecutions out of these cases, because clearly a jury thought he was guilty.
Jurors in the case can't believe the decision.
I am shocked. I'm shocked based off of all of the evidence that was presented to us and the obvious guilt that we saw based off of the said evidence. It was not a difficult decision whatsoever.
Now we have judges that just get to decide whether or not they agree with the jury, and they just get to overthrow whatever the jury decides. That's what we have in this country right now. We've got rogue judges that need to be taken off the bench, because this is insane. Insane. I think that this happened in this country. Joining me to react is none other than my good friend Dan Lyman. He's one of the great reporters we have over at Infowars.com. He's also the man behind BorderHawk.news. And he joins us now. Dan, thank you for being here. You know, the Somalian population doesn't like it when we call them out for being just leeches on the system. I don't know how else to describe this, Dan, but they have committed lots of fraud. Obviously, it's not all of them, but it's an alarming group of them who have. And, you know, there's all these new reports alleging that they actually funnel that money back home, and it does land in the hands of Islamic terrorists. Your reaction to this judge deciding, even though the jury convicted this guy of fraud, we're just going to let him go. Your reaction?
Well, I'll preface by using the famous phrase Jesse Lee Peterson uses, not all, but most. And these Somalis have not gotten a lot of attention, as you mentioned. We've talked about it in conservative media for years, what's going on in Minneapolis, what's going on in Lewiston, Maine, what's going on in Columbus, Ohio. But now that the president has shown a little spotlight, a big spotlight on a little group of people, I should say, the few hundred that are protected by TPS in Minnesota, well, now everybody's talking about it. And we've seen this happen time and time again. The president raises an issue and unleashes it into the public domain, and all of a sudden, journalists and commentators and reporters from both sides of the aisle are all over it. And so now we're talking about Somalis. We've been talking about Indians a lot this year. We talked about Haitians a lot prior to that. I liken the Somalis to Haitians, but with Islam, which I think is even more insidious and more dangerous for our country, as we've seen here in Minnesota and other examples across the country, that the Somalis have a very aggressive political pursuits. And so that's why they're running for office. That's why they're winning offices. And that's why they are able to, in many cases, with the help of these radical leftists, these white leftists, especially in Minnesota, to loot and pillage the American taxpayers in order to fund lavish lifestyles for themselves, and then also for their homies back home in Somalia. And Somalia is a hellhole, one of the worst countries on the planet. And there are disputes about what the IQ is. IQ in itself is a disputed metric, but I think it's pretty clear these people have no business in Western civilization. I lived around them in Switzerland, unfortunately. I told this story very briefly on X and received a lot of pushback from Somalis, but I was unfortunate enough to be in a town in Switzerland that had a sizable Somali and Eritrean population, very similar people, and they are totally barbaric. They don't do anything. They leech off the system. They get drunk. They fight each other. And generally, they just lounge around all day doing nothing. These are unproductive members of society that we have been foisted upon us, and they're also very dangerous as well.
Yeah, well, that's like how I like to kick off my Wednesday mornings, is talking about these types of things. But, you know, Dan, the reality of it is people don't like the facts. When we lay out the facts, when we talk about the numbers, when we talk about what they actually do to this country, they don't want to hear it. I want to play clip six for you, because Stephen Miller has been one of the very few who have been on this issue since day one, and he's weighing in as well. Take a listen.
Add up to. Why are they engaged in all this? What is their objective here? It's the Somalification of America. In other words, When you see the state of Somalia, that's what they want for America at the end of the day, because it's easier to rule over an empire of ashes than it is for the Democratic Party to rule over a functioning, Western, high-trust society with a strong middle class. Look how powerful the Democrat Party became in Minnesota once they flooded it with 100,000 Somalians. Once the elections were decided, right, by clan rivalries and ethnic feuds. Once that happened, the Democrat Party became permanently powerful in Minnesota. They became permanently powerful in the Twin Cities. That's their model for America, to make the whole country into a version of Somalia.
I mean, he said it clearly there. Your reaction, Dan?
Well, it's so true. And the Democrats wanting to rule over an empire of ashes. You could also argue that for members of the Republican Party, too, that are do-nothings and are totally complicit in this one-party system at this point. But it's so true. When people ask me, confused normie types, they say, why are they doing this to the country, especially during the Biden years? Why are they allowing all these people in? And I try to tell them, it's not just about votes. It's not about the workforce. It's not about bringing in, you know, new labor. They're trying to destroy the country. They're trying to decimate our way of life, the middle class, you could say, white Americans, people who we all have to fund these people being here. So we're watching our quality of life being degraded. White Americans are having fewer kids because they simply can't afford to, they think. And what that really gets to the heart of the matter. Why are the globalists so intent on bringing in detritus from around the world, some of the worst people from the worst countries, and flooding it into our once great nation? We are entering what I call the first fourth world country conditions here. We're a first world country being subsumed by the third world. And that's really what it comes down to. They want the country to be destroyed. They want different pockets of the country. So maybe you want Miami to look like more like Haiti or like Venezuela, and you want Columbus or Minneapolis to look more like Somalia, and you might want California to look like parts of Mexico that no one would want to go to. And ultimately, what you have is just this country that is totally dysfunctional. It's ruled over by different clans, different people from different countries who won't get along with each other. Their only common cause is to destroy the country and loot the American taxpayer. And Stephen Miller is absolutely correct on that.
Yeah, no, he is absolutely correct on that. And he's one of the very few who are brave enough to come out and say it. I think many people have feared the retaliation, but it's also starting to get a little mainstream these days. You know, here in Texas, Greg Abbott's finally talking now about CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood. These were all issues that for the last few years, when he's been occupying, obviously, the governor's role, he really stayed away from. He was very worrisome to directly talk about it. But now he's talking about how CARE's Twitter page is based out of a Turkish app. Store the, you know, obviously that means it's based in Turkey, although it says that they are here physically in the U.S. The Turkish app store tells you exactly what's going on here. But speaking of Turkey, you know, you just actually put up a story earlier this week up on Infowars.com in regards to a Biden illegal alien who apparently grabs ICE officer's taser while yelling "Akhout Akbar." I just don't know where to go with these anymore. It seems like a trend these days. Give us the details behind this story, though.
Yeah, this is just another example of these brazen illegals who have been emboldened in many ways by the radical left in this country that is fighting back against ICE violently and obstructing. And so the illegals are more and more empowered to do the same when they're being apprehended. This guy had a serious criminal history. We're pulling up here. I just wrote about this the other day in Erie County, which is right outside in the Buffalo area. And ICE was conducting targeted enforcement operation. They observed their target, a man identified as Saim Irgi, an illegal alien from Turkey. He was getting in a car to leave a residence that they were surveilling, pulling up to. And when they pulled him over, they determined that that was indeed who they were dealing with. They asked him to exit the vehicle multiple times. He resisted. He refused. They had to drag him out of the vehicle. And I love the terminology they use. They said while they were escorting him to the ground, he reached for an officer's taser and grabbed it and tried to grab it for himself, presumably to use in his defense. And at that point, they had to neutralize him. And he has been taken into custody. He entered in 2023 in near Jamul, California. We saw in California the daily border rush there. There was very little done to stem the tide in California. Of course, we saw Texas did make efforts over the years. California made virtually none. And so what you had in California was a lot of Asian illegals that were coming across, Chinese, Middle Eastern, and also Turkish, of course. And so his criminal history includes, let's see, we had it pulled up here. He had a simple assault charge. Oh, yes. He was arrested on March 19th for assault in Pensacon, New Jersey. His charge was dismissed on April 4th, and hours later, he was arrested in Philadelphia with charges of strangulation, simple assault, and recklessly endangering. So this guy gets out of court, his charge is dismissed, and he goes right on to commit another violent crime, allegedly. But now he is in ICE custody, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, it's good to see that they're getting on top of these things, especially in New York, because we know how they are. Specifically, the governor, obviously, not going to really work with ICE. And so this was an interesting one. You also have another story up right now on Infowars.com. And this one's just really sad. It's an update regarding Oregon. There was a driver's license that was issued there. This is another Obama illegal. And I like how you keep saying what president they came in under, because I think this is really important. But the individual has been charged with a hit and run after killing this little girl. And it's just devastating because she's obviously a beautiful, beautiful 8-year-old little girl. And this shouldn't have happened in the first place. She would still be alive if they didn't let this guy into the country. What's the very latest on that?
Yeah, really a tragic story. And the reason that I highlight the presidents that they come in under, of course, is to note, you know, who let these people into the country. Of course, some dangerous illegals got into the country during the Trump years. We have actually seen cases where the Trump administration will arrest or had apprehended or kicked out an illegal during Trump's first term, and they came back in or were allowed to stay in by the Biden regime. So even the efforts of the Trump administration during those years were ultimately undone in many cases by the subsequent administration. But this is a horrible story. We've been tracking this one. I've done a few write-ups on this, and it was earlier this month, this 8-year-old girl who has since been identified as Maura Garrity was walking through a residential neighborhood in Boise, Idaho, and she was a student at a local elementary school, so she was a local resident, of course, and she was crossing a street, and a legal alien driver identified as Elvin Elgardo Ramos Caballero, a citizen of Honduras, who entered, I believe, as a minor under the Obama regime and has lived in the country ever since, illegally, ran her over, according to authorities, and killed her. And really just there are so many tragic tales for American citizens who are killed by illegal aliens. But when it's a child in a case like this, it really is disturbing. And it has since come out that he got a license from the state of Oregon, who began issuing licenses to illegal aliens in 2021. It's unclear when he got that license and then why he was in Idaho, but he took an American life apparently, and now he is in ICE custody and they're investigating this further. And at the time, the Boise Police Department said he was very cooperative at the scene, but DHS says it was actually a hit and run. So we're working on finding out more details about that. We find out in many cases that American lives that are damaged or destroyed by illegals behind the wheel are hit and run cases because they do flee the scene.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting because you're hearing conflicting reports. You know, I remember when DHS talked about that woman. I believe we played the clip yesterday. I think she was in Chicago. DHS accused this one woman of pulling a firearm during while she confronted it, and she apparently collided with DHS agents. And she claims that that's not true, and actually that her weapon was in her car, and she has a license for it, and that it was put away, and it was in a secure pouch. And so they probably didn't even know about it until like after everything went down. And then they also claimed that it was a hit rather than that she actually was trying to take down the SUV where the federal agents were in. That came out during one of their testimony. So there's actually a lot of things that are being put out by DHS so far that are actually very conflicting. And I find it to be very interesting that we're supposed to, sadly, it's all we have to do is go against their word on cases like this. But the woman who was shot and who I'm outlining in this case, I believe it was Chicago, we played it yesterday, but ultimately, she's got a rebuttal, and it sounds actually pretty easy to prove if she's right. So keep in mind, when we take DHS's word on things, sometimes it might not actually be accurate. We have to kind of have to see how it fizzles out. But I also wanted to bring up this because the driver's license issue is a big one. You know, when I was in New York, I remember when they were pushing for illegal aliens to get driver's licenses. And the real push was the lobbying. There was a lot of insurance companies lobbying for illegal aliens to get access to driver's licenses. And they were telling us, oh, it's going to be great. This is going to be good for the state of New York. You want them to do this because they're going to get insurance. It's going to be fine. And lo and behold, we're watching as all these car accidents have completely surged. And we're not hearing about it, obviously, in the States, because New York State would never tell you how many illegal aliens have caused car accidents. But we're seeing it on the outskirts of all of that. Have you seen anything in regards to this as to these blue states that have handed out these driver's licenses? And they were so they were encouraging them to get driver's licenses. And now that we're seeing all these cases pop up all of a sudden, the insurance lobby seems to be quiet. But I guess my point here is just quite simple. It's just they were so hell-bent on forcing this onto the American people. And now they're starting to be exposed. I haven't heard from the insurance lobby on all of this, but they were the ones who were talking to the media at first in New York, for example, and saying it's going to be a great thing. Are we hearing anything from the insurance lobby as these blue states continue to see surges in illegal aliens getting into car accidents?
Well, they got theirs regardless because our insurance rates went up. So I think they knew they were gonna get their payday one way or another. Of course, most of these illegals don't get insurance. I was hit by an illegal in California, and I ended up footing the whole bill for the damage to my vehicle. And so it was a troubling case, and we see many such cases. But we see that all of our insurance rates, our car insurance rates, are going through the roof because we're paying for these people. I live in Florida. I have to carry a huge deductible, part of my policy for uninsured drivers, and I do because it's such an issue here. And, you know, I was living in California when they decided to give licenses to illegals back in 2013-14, and I recall – you know, I had to go to the DMV a few times in California. It was totally hellacious. I spent 6 hours at a DMV one time. It was so overcrowded and poorly run. But I recall when they were about to start issuing the licenses for illegals, probably on January 1st, that in the lead up, they built a few new DMVs in the area. And I remember driving by one that evening before the next day when it was going to open, and there was already a line around the building, presumably mostly illegal aliens lining up to get their licenses. And we see more and more that states that are run by total psychopaths are issuing licenses, and in many cases now we're finding out they're issuing CDLs. The Texas Department of Public Safety and ICE conducted a one-day operation out in the panhandle, and they were checking suspicious drivers, and they caught more than 30 illegal aliens who were carrying CDLs, many of which had been issued by the state of California just in one day. So the roads are getting far more treacherous because of these big rig drivers who are in the country illegally, but also, of course, because illegals are all over the place driving without registration, driving without license, driving without insurance, and we're all paying the price for that.
Yeah, we all are paying the price for that. And our insurance rates have skyrocketed, even in Florida, Texas, and it's infuriating because these people shouldn't be on the roads. And we didn't vote for this, but somehow we're all getting the painful after effects of this. Before you go, Dan, I want to ask about this story because this one's really, really gruesome. A woman apparently got caught in the middle of a fight between two men who are both illegal aliens, it looks like, in Georgia, and suffered a massive, massive injury, it looks like, after being struck with a sword. What's this all about?
Yeah, this one happened at a residence in Georgia. The police were called there because of this woman had suffered horrific injuries and someone called it in. We know nothing about the woman, but we do know in many cases like this where there are multiple illegals at a residence and a fight breaks out or some sort of altercation, domestic dispute. In many cases, the victim also is in the country illegally. I'm not saying that this woman was, but it appears that these two men were either involved in an altercation between each other or with someone else or possibly with the woman herself. They appear to be related. They have very similar last names. And so they were called, paramedics and police were called to the residence. They found a woman suffering from horrific injuries that were inflicted by a sword, according to police, including a severed hand a large gash on the back of her neck and also a large gash on her arm. And so she was medevaced out in critical but stable condition and apparently is going to survive. These two guys were arrested and are in custody. They said they had to separate these guys at prison. They're staying in, I believe they're being housed in different prisons. And the chief of police there said, you can guess why, or we have suspicions why. It's a very, very odd story, very cloaked in mystery. But just another horrific crime committed by illegal aliens that we're going to end up paying for the medical bills. We're going to end up paying for, most likely, and for the prosecution, for their attorneys, and just the list goes on and on about how the American taxpayer is being fleeced by these people, and in many cases, losing their lives, losing their hands when these people enter the country.
Yeah, Dan, it's really infuriating because this shouldn't be our problem. This shouldn't be what's going on in this country, but because we've imported the third world, this is where we're at right now. Dan Lyman, you do incredible work over at Infowars.com. I highly recommend everyone check out what you're working on over there, as well as BorderHawk.news as well. Thank you for joining me. We appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, the crew, and all of our audience.
Yes, yes. We're very excited about Thanksgiving tomorrow. Folks, I'll be busy. I've got a lot that I'm cooking. Rib roast is going to be the big one for tomorrow. I eat that like all the time, whenever I can. I'm not a big baker, but I'm going to buy dessert. I'm going to cheat my way out of this one. In the meantime, though, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a bit in the second hour of the show. So if you want something that you want to talk about, regarding the news stories we've covered, of course, give me a call, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls in the second hour of the show, still digging into some stories and taking your calls. So if you got something you want to say related to the news stories we've covered thus far, give us a call. All right, folks. In the meantime, though, if you like my sweater, I see everyone on Twitter is talking about it right now, and I appreciate all your compliments, of course. This sweater is available over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now, because it's 25% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You get this great sweater. I got mine in a small, so just keep that in mind. I know a lot of you probably think I'm taller than I am, but I'm actually 5'3". So if you're around my height, this might be a good one for you. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because we also have buy one, get one free on supplements as well, while supplies last. And like I said, 25% off apparel as well. Also, every time you make a purchase over at the shop, well, you're going to enter to win a lot of cash and potentially a really cool vehicles. It's over at thealexjonesstore.com. Every time you make a purchase, you're entering to win one of these sick rides. So head on over, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more going on in the second hour of the program. Third hour, Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio. You're going to want to catch that, because he's a lot he's ready to sound off on. So do not go anywhere. More to unpack soon.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right, Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app for your desktop or phone, You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.